Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We are going to pick up again on Kuf Tes Vav and Beis at the last line of the page. And Ella Amar Le Rav Mordechai Le Rav Ashi. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Le Ashalom, the Neshama Shirav and Aliyah. And is also sponsored by Fred Danishevsky, Lila Nishmas' sister, Shaina Mindel Bas Ravichil Hillel Le Ashalom, the Neshama Shirav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go through the rules of what is considered a valid pircha on a limud when the source of the limud is from one source, when it's from a tzad hashava, and when it's from three different sources. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether kilei hakerem is considered to be something that once had a shas hakosher, similar to basar b'chalav. We said basar b'chalav had a shas hakosher. When it was just basar and just chalav, it was kosher. It was only the combination of the two. Do we say the same thing about kilei hakerem? Do we consider kilei hakerem to be something that once had a shas hakosher? It was once wheat and it was once grapes, and or do we say no? The wheat and the grapes that you started with are not the problem. It's the new growth that's the problem, and that never had a shas hakosher. Then the Gemara is going to quote an opinion after we went through all the different shitos as to how we know that basar b'chalav is not only asr ba'achila but asr ba'hanah as well. We're going to quote an opinion that it's actually not asr ba'hanah, that it's only asr ba'achila, and obviously in Bishul, because that it says in the Torah explicitly. But then the Gemara is going to explain the two Tanaim that we had mentioned in the Mishnah, who both say that Basar Of is excluded from the Yisra Basar B'chalav Min HaTorah, and we're going to try to find that what's in Afkamina, whether you learn this way or that way, that Basar Of is excluded from the Yisra Basar B'chalav Min HaTorah. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to begin a new discussion, which are the Halachos of Renit and the Or Hakeva as well. Well, the rennet is the milk that if you have an animal that's a baby animal that's nursing from its mother, so it's the milk that you find in one of the stomachs that's quite pungent and is very useful in cheese making. So that's what we call rennet. The or hakeva is the stomach that you find that rennet in, which is also useful in cheese making. So what is the halachic status of the rennet? What is the halachic status of the or hakeva? The Gemara is going to have two different opinions about what kevas oveit kochavim that the Mishnah refers to, what it even means, and why would it be aser. And then the Gemara is going to raise a stira, whether the keva found in a non-kosher animal that nursed from a kosher animal is kosher. Meaning, do we view it as, well, it's the milk that came from a kosher animal, and it just happens to be sitting around inside this non-kosher animal, and therefore it's kosher? Do we say, no, now that it's inside a non-kosher animal, it's part of the non-kosher animal? So we're going to have a stira about that, and we're going to have two ways of resolving that stira. And then the last piece before the next Mishnah is going to be two opinions about curdling cheese with the keva found in an animal that was shechted by an oved kochavim, whether that's problematic or not. So let us begin again. We're going to pick up again from the last line of Kuf Tes Vav and Beis. We had discussed yesterday how we know the Yisra of Hana'ah, the Yisra of Basa, that Basa B'chalav is Hasar B'Hana'ah, so we thought we could learn it from Arla, and then we said, Arla alone is not a valid limud. Maybe we need to also learn it from other sources as well, from Chametz B'Pesach, and maybe even Arla and Chametz B'Pesach are not a valid limud, so maybe we need to bring in Kilei HaKerem as well. So we learned it from a combination of three different things. So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Le Rav Mordechai the Rav Ashi, Hachim Rishrei Dresh Lakish. Here are the rules in terms of when you have a limud, when you learn a halacha from one source versus learning a halacha from a tzad hashava from two sources versus learning a halacha from three different sources. And the rules are as follows. Chada Mechada, if you want to learn a din from one particular source, like the Brisa initially tried to do. It wanted to say, how do I know Basar B'chalav is Asar B'hanah? Because I learned it from Arla, that if Arla is Asar B'hanah, Basar B'chalav should be Asar B'hanah. Well then, Kula V'chumra Parchinan, Kol Duhu Lo Parchinan. In order to ruin that limud, you need to find a Kula or a Chumra that the Melamed has that the Lama doesn't. That in this example, that Arla has that Basar B'chalav does not. And that's exactly what the Brisa did. The Brisa said, Marla Orla Shkein Lo Haisala Shas HaKosher, that Orla has a Chumrah in that it was never kosher, it never had a Shas HaKosher, and that made it an invalid limud. It wasn't just a difference between Orla and Basar B'Chalav. Anyone can find a difference between Orla and Orla grows from the ground, Basar B'Chalav doesn't grow from the ground, right? Anyone can find a difference between Orla and Basar B'Chalav. It was about finding a Kula or a Chumrah, why it's more Chamur or more Kal, and that's in fact what the Braisa did. But Kalduhu Lo Parchinan, if you were to just find a difference, that wouldn't be enough. That would not be enough to ruin the limud of Basar B'Chalav from Orla. But if you're learning from two sources, as the Braisa ultimately does, once it asks that you can't learn from Arla, because Arla never had a Shas HaKosher, so what did it say? It said Chamitz BePesach Yochiach. So it turns out that we're learning from the combination of Arla and Chamitz BePesach. Then afilu kaldu parchinan. Then you could come up with any chilik. You don't need a kula or a chumra. Just come up with something that chametz bepesach and arla have in common that basar b'chalav doesn't, and that's a perfectly valid pircha. The Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar points out it doesn't mean kaldu, because you could always find something that they have in common with one another that the lama doesn't have. It means something that's somewhat chashuv. It just doesn't have to be a kula or a chumra, and that's in fact what we did. We said, well, arla and chametz bepesach are both Gidule Karka. So that seems somewhat important that it's Gidule Karka as opposed to Basar B'Chalav, which is not Gidule Karka, and that's a valid way to destroy that limud. Chod mitlas, but if you're going to learn from three sources, like the Braisa does at the very end, because it was Mochiach from Klayim, that so it turns out they have three sources, Orla, Chametz, and Klayim. So he said, Ihadar Dina, Va'asi B'Ma'atzad. So if there's a Pircha on the limud from the third source, and therefore we need to use the Tzad HaShava from the first two as well. So, and then we have a Kasha on the first two sources, and therefore we need the third source as well. So it's a Tzad HaShava between all three. Well, then Parchinan Kolduhu. Then we could come up with the Pircha, as long as there's anything the three have in common that the Lama does not have in common. V'ilo, but if there's no Pircha on the Limud from the third source, so you don't need to keep on bouncing it back and forth and making a Tzad HaShava, then Kula V'chum Parchinan, you can only ask if you find a kula or a chumra in the third source, kaldu lo parchinan. But if you find any other such chilik, then it's between the malamdim and the lamad. That would not be enough to ruin the limud, even if it's other chilik is true of all three malamdim. And therefore, we understand why didn't the Braisa ask on the limud from the three different sources to Basar B'Chalav? Why didn't it say malakulu shekein gidule karka, that chametz bepesach and Orla and Klayim, they're all Gidule Karka. Basar B'Chalav is not Gidule Karka, because that's not a valid pircha on a three-way limud. It's only a valid pircha if the three-way limud keeps on bouncing back and forth. But if it's a three-way limud that's not really a Tzad HaShavah, where we don't have a problem with in the Kula V'Chumra sense with the third limud, then there's not, it's not going to be a problem on the limud. So that is how the Gemara concludes. So now asked the Gemara. The Gemara asks on the end of the Braisa that tried to prove from Kilei HaKerem that it's Asur Ba'ana, that Basar B'Chalav should be Asur Ba'ana as well, Vilifroch, but why can't we ask that the limud from Kilei HaKerem is an invalid limud? Mal Kilei HaKerem Shkein Lo Haisa Lehen Shas HaKosher, that Kilei HaKerem was never mutter, because L'chora, only the Gidulim of Kilei HaKerem are Asur. That which you initially plant is not Asur. So you can't learn from that to Basar B'Chalav, where they were mutter before they were Nisarif, and then they themselves became Asr. By Kilei HaKerem, whatever is Asr didn't exist before, and that which was mutter remains mutter. So Kilei HaKerem never had a Shas HaKosher. Basar B'Chalav, the very things that were mutter now became Asr. The Basar was mutter, the Chalav was mutter, cook them together, now they've become Asr. So isn't that a proper pircha on this limud from Kilei HaKerem? So Amar Avad Barava Zos Ameris. Now you see from the fact that the Braisa doesn't ask this, it's telling you something very valuable about the dinim of Kilei HaKerem, that Kilei HaKerem Ikara Nesar, that by Kilei HaKerem, even the initial product becomes usur. It's not only that the new growth becomes usur. The initial items that you planted become usur. And therefore, it's something that had shasa kosher, because those initial items were once kosher, then you planted them together, and by planting them together, not just the new growth becomes usur, they themselves became usur. So the Gemara asks in that, Masav Rav Shmai Bar Zeira, there is a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Kalayim that talks about a mavir otzitz nakuv bekerem. Let's say you have a flower pot with a hole in the bottom that's growing plants in it, and you pass it through a kerem, and it's we assume that it's yonek through the air, since it has holes at the bottom of the flower pot, that when you pass it through the kerem, it's somehow gaining nourishment from the ground through the air in between the ground and the bottom of the flower pot. So hosef masayim aser, if it grows to a point of 1/200th, then it's going to be usher as kaleya kerem. Meaning, if let's say of the 200 units that it has in its size right now, 199 are units of heter, and one is a unit of iser. So it's not a 200-to-1 ratio; it's a 199-to-1 ratio. Then the whole thing is going to be usher, because kaleya kerem needs 200 in order to become batel, right? Orla is batel in 100. Kilea Kerem is batel Truma is batel in 100. Kilea Kerem is batel in 200. So that's where the Sifri writes, that and Rashi quotes it in Shas, that the reason Kilea Kerem is 200 is dafka because Truma is 100. That Truma is only Asur ba'achila. Kilea Kerem is Asur bein ba'achila bein ba'na. So since it's nichbal bi'isuro, it's double the Isur, namely that it's an Isur both on the achila level and on a level, so it's double the amount for the sheer bittel, which is a bit of a funny limud, because double the isser is a qualitative difference. It's not meaning the achila and anar are just different things. It's not a quantitative difference, but yet when it comes to the quantity of bittel, we derive from there that the quantity of bittel is double as well. So it sounds like, but I mean, how's this Mishnah problematic for us? Because it sounds like hosif in, lo hosif lo, that only the new growth is going to create an Isser, and then it's just a question of bittel. But the initial product that you just had planted together is not going to be problematic. So how can you tell me that kilei kerem is something that was haisal l'shasa kosher? Because the very items that you planted were mutter and now become usser. No, it sounds like if it weren't for the new growth overwhelming what was there would have remained mutter. That the initial product would have remained mutter, so it would not be considered something. Kilei Kerem would not be considered something that was haisal l'shasa kosher. So answers the Gemara, Amar Abayi Trei Krei Ksivi. There are two psukim that seem to be a stira with one another in terms of whether Kilei Kerem, whether the original product of Kilei Kerem becomes usur or not, and it's really describing two different circumstances. Ksiv pentikta shamaleya, it says, lest it become usur, which sounds like that which grows is aser, but not the original product. Uksiv hazera, and it says hazera, which sounds like the original product that you planted is aser. Well, haketzad, how can we reconcile that? So zarua meikaro, whatever you plant initially in the kerem, then the zera itself becomes aser behashrasha. As soon as it takes root in the kerem, it itself becomes aser. Zarua uba, but if you have something that already had taken root beheter outside of the kerem, you have this flower pot, it's already growing wheat in it, so it already took root, it's already independent, it's already totally mutter, and then you bring it into a kerem, then hosef in lo hosef lo, then only that which grows beyond what's already there is going to become asr mishum kilei kerem, but whatever does not grow beyond is not going to be asr mishum kilei kerem. So that is the limud. So when the Brisa said kilei kerem yochichu, it meant from those kalayim that had a shasa kosher, like most cases where the zriya was be'isr, meaning normally you think of kilei kerem, you think of planting two things next to each other in the ground. So that's something that taka becomes aser, and therefore it had a shasa kosher, where the original zrayim become aser. So that taka would be something that had a shasa kosher prior to the ashrasha, and then as soon as the ashrasha happens, it becomes aser. Okay, so now says the Gemara, masnisin, our entire mission Mishnah, which assumed that Basar B'Cholov is not only Asr B'Achila and obviously B'Bishul, but it's Asr B'Hanoah as well, is Dilo Ki Aitana, is against the following Braisa. Titania, Rabbi Shim Ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shim Ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, whenever we say Mishum, Rashi writes on Kufid Gimel and Beis that Mishum somebody means that he never heard it directly from him, that he heard someone else say it in his name. So he's saying it third hand. He didn't hear it firsthand. The Rashbam says, no, it's a reference to Rabbi Mufak or whatever. Okay, fine. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Basar B'Cholov Asar B'Achilo Mutar B'Hanoah. That Basar B'Cholov cannot be eaten, but it is Mutar B'Hanoah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, L'gabe Basar B'Cholov, Ki Am Kadosh Ata, V'Nemar La'alan, and it says, by Trefa, V'Anshei Kodesh, Tiyun Li. So we learn, Gzeira Shava of Kodesh Kodesh. Ma'la Halan, just like by Trefa, Asar B'Achilo Mutar B'Hanoah, Trefa is something that you're not allowed to eat, but it's Mutar B'Hanoah. How do I know Trefa is Mutar B'Hanoah? It's Furish in the pasuk, the kelev tashlichon also. That what do you do with basar trefa? You throw it to a dog. Well, if you're throwing it to a dog, you're getting hana'a from the fact that your dog is eating it, because Rashi writes mizunosan alav. You're responsible for feeding your dog. So when you feed it to a dog, that's called hana'a. Not only that, even if you feed an animal directly and it's not your animal, there's hana'a in feeding an animal, right? That's the petting zoo problem on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Besides for buying the feed, but to feed an animal with chametz is a problem of hana. So anyway, but it's we know that basar trefa is mutar b'hana. So afkan, so too basar b'chalav is asar b'achila mutar b'hana is likewise asar b'achila mutar b'hana. So that's the opinion in the braisa, that there is no isra hana when it comes to basar b'chalav. Now the problem over here, Tosos raises the question that we already had an opinion that learned from trefa that there's an isra achila, but the opinion that learned from Trefa that there's an Isra Achila was Isi ben Yehuda. He learned that the Isra Achila of Basar B'Cholov is derived from the Isra Achila by Trefa. But then he went a step further and he said, okay, that's how I know the Isra Achila. How do I know the Isra Hanah? That I know from Arla, that just like Arla is Asar B'Hanah, so too Basar B'Cholov is Asar B'Hanah. So why didn't Rabbi Shimon take that next step? Why does Rabbi Shimon stop at the Limud from Trefa? Why not take the next step and say, and I learned from Arla that there's an Isra Hana'a as well? So Tosfos explains that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a klal that ain't gzeira shava lemechza, meaning everyone agrees there's a klal ain't gzeira shava lemechza. Rabbi Shimon applies the klal of ain't gzeira shava lemechza over here, that once I learn from Trefa, so I'm learning, I have to learn all of the dinim from Trefa. You can't take a gzeira shava of Kodesh Kodesh from Basar B'Cholov from Trefa to Basar B'Cholov and only learn part way, only learn that there's an Isra Achila, but not learn the status of Hana'a. So if Trefa is Mutar B'Achila and is Asar B'Achila and Mutar B'Hanoah, Basar B'Cholov, you have to take the whole package. Basar B'Cholov is likewise going to be Asar B'Achila and Mutar B'Hanoah. So you have to, it's just the rules of Gzeirah Shava. Isi Ben Yehuda also agrees in Gzeirah Shava L'Mechza, but there's a Kal V'Chomer to teach me in Isra Hanoah. So the Kal V'Chomer overpowers the in Gzeirah Shava L'Mechza. The new limud of the Kal V'Chomer overpowers the in Gzeirah Shava L'Mechza. Maybe one could argue is whether a heter hana is a limud, meaning that something is, everything's mutter until it's proven aser, right? So the limud is about the iser achila, and the heter hana is not a limud. That's just what it was until you have an iser. So the way Rabbi Shimon learns it is that no, it's a limud, and you got to learn the whole thing. You got to learn all the dinim. Whereas Isi Ben Yehuda would say there's no limud of a heter hana. It's just that there's no limud of an iser. Ah, but there is a limud of an iser. There's a Kal V'Chomer Me'arla. So it's a question of whether a heter is considered, maybe one could argue that that's the machlokas, whether a heter is considered a limud. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chayav Of. We then said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva holds that Chayav Of, Basar Chayav, Basar Of, is not subject to Basar B'Cholov Min HaTorah, because the Torah says Lo Svashka Libi Chalev Yimo three times, and that excludes Basar Chayav, and includes Basar Of, and excludes Basar Of, and it excludes Basar Behemah Tameya from a non-kosher animal. animal. So says Gemara, Hani hafkinu l'kedush Shmuel. But wait a second. The word gedi in each of the three times the Torah says los vasha gedi b'chalev imo was already needed for a drasha that Shmuel made back on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis. The one time it says gedi, it teaches me that if you eat chalev or nevela, that's in this bashel with chalav, that aside from violating the isra of chalev, the isra of nevela, you also violate the isra of basar b'chalav. A second time gedi teaches me that if you eat the shlil that's been the special b'chalav, you violate basar b'chalav. And from the third one, he's mimait basar b'metzmeya from the isra of basar b'chalav, the same way Rabbi Kiva is. But how can you exclude chaya and ov if I'm already using the gedi, the word gedi, in the first two psukim to teach me other dinim, to include basar nevela and to include shlil? So says Mar Kasav Rabbi Akiva, Isr Chalal Isr. Rabbi Akiva holds that an Isr can be Chal on another Isr, and therefore it's natural to assume that Chalev is already included in the Isr of Basar B'chalav. I don't need a limud to tell it to me. Of course it's included. Why wouldn't it be included? An Isr can always be Chal on another Isr. So to tell me that Chalev or Nevela is included in Basar B'chalav, it's unnecessary to have a limud. And so Chalev Umesa Lotzrichikra, that chalev is included in basar b'chalav, that nevela is included in basar b'chalav, I don't need a pasuk. And as far as the second gedi, which Shmuel used to teach me about shlil gedi malyahu, that also I don't need a pasuk. The word gedi includes a shlil as well. So yasru l'hukulu, therefore, all three gedis are open for drushas, prat l'chaya, va'of l'behemet meya, and that's how Rabbi Akiva learns that basar chaya is not included in basar b'chalav, basar of is not included in basar b'chalav, and basar behemet meya is not included in basar b'chalav. The behemet meya part even Shmuel agreed to, because he used one of the gedis to teach me that. But that's how I learned all three. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, then the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Nemar l'sochlu, that it says l'sochlu kol nevela, and it says those vashal gadi bechalev imo. So we darshan that which is asr mishum nevela, you're not allowed to cook with chalav, and therefore an oaf which is asr mishum nevela should be included in the isra of basar bechalav. That's why it says bechalev imo that yatsa oaf shein lo chalav aim, that it has to be an animal whose mother has milk, but a bird's mother doesn't have milk, and that's how I know to exclude basar oaf from basar bechalav. So different than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva excluded Basar Of from Basar B'chalav Min HaTorah from the word Gedi, but Rabbi Yossi Aglili says no, it's from B'chalev Imo that I exclude Basar Of. So they both agree that Basar Of is not included in the Yisra of Basar B'chalav, but for different reasons, different drushes. So says Gemara, no, bottom line, it's the same though. Ma'ika ben Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva. In the end of the day, they both say that if you cook chicken and milk, you did not violate an Issa D'Oraisa. If you eat chicken and milk, you have not violated an Issa D'Oraisa. So two possible nafkaminas between them. Ika ben Ayu. No, one possible nafkamina is chaya, is whether basar chaya is included in basar b'chalav. If you cook a giraffe with milk, is that included in basar b'chalav? You basically discover chaya d'oraisa. That yeah, absolutely, because its mother has milk, and anything that has chalavim, so chaya also has chalavim, and it would be included. Rabbi Kiva discover chaya d'rabbanan. Rabbi Kiva says no. One of the gedis was there to tell me to exclude chaya. That basar chaya is excluded. Or it could be of ikabinayu. That meaning, I don't think this disagrees with the first nafkamina, but it's saying that in fact the girsa and the Rashba and Torah Sabayis is the most fundamental sefer in Hilchas Kashrus and Basar B'chalav and Taroves. Most of the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Torah. Different sections of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. A lot of times you could see that the Shulchan Aruch just lifted the exact lashon of a particular Rishon. So oftentimes it's the Rambam, but in Yerideya it's the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba that he just uses the entire lashon of the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba. So the actual girsa of the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba over here is of nami ikabinayu, meaning obviously chaya is a nafkamina between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But there's another nafkamina even within of. How's there a nafkamina within of? They both said the basar of is not minat Torah. Yeah, but is basar of asr midrabanan? Meaning, can I literally go today and have a chicken and cheese sandwich? Is there an isr drabanan even when it comes to of? Rabbi Akiva holds that Oaf is Asim Midrabanan, because he says, Chayv Oaf Einan Min HaTorah, HaMidrabanan Asiri. They're not Asim Min HaTorah, but Midrabanan, they would be Asir. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Savar Oaf Afilu Midrabanan Nami Lo Asir. That even on a Drabanan level, they never Asir Basar Oaf, that you can mamish cook, you can have chicken parmesan, you can mamish cook chicken and milk together, no problem whatsoever. Tanya Nami Yachim, we have a brisa that in fact confirms the Rabbi Yossi Aglili's Mechudashtika opinion that Oaf and Chalav is just totally mutter, because the brisa tells us, B'mekomushal Rabbi Eliezer, that in Rabbi Eliezer's town, when they needed to do a bris milah on Shabbos, and they didn't have a knife prepared in advance, Hayu Korsin Eitzim, they would chop wood on Shabbos, Lasos Pachamin, to make the coals, Lasos Barzel, to prepare the knife that they're going to be able to use for the milah, because Rabbi Lazar holds that Machshire Mila are Docha Shabbos, and they rightfully followed their Mara D'Asra. Rabbi Eliezer was the Rav, and they followed his Shita, that Machshire Mila are Docha Shabbos. Not just that they happened to follow it. When we say Lasos Barzel, to make the knife, Rashi writes that it was that it's to make the knife of the Mila. It sounds like they already had Barzel, but they had to fashion it into a kli that's usable for Mila. Rashi and Shabbos in Parak Rav Lazar Demila sounds like they didn't even really have the barzel. They needed the gechalim in order to even prepare the barzel. And the brice is coming to be mechadesh more than what the Mishnah says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that even though they needed to do many, many malachos in order to prepare, not just stam chopping the wood, they needed to do a bunch of malachos. You're allowed to do all of it. In fact, Tosos in Yivam Estaf Yudalid writes that the brice is coming to be mechadesh, that they did this on purpose, that they were maybe lidekach, that they wouldn't have a sakin on Shabbos, so that they could do all of these malachas on Shabbos to show the chavivus of the mitzvahs mila, that you could just do mila with a knife that was prepared from before Shabbos, or you could show how chaviv is the mitzvah of mila, that we're doing all of the machshirim in violation of malachos on Shabbos. So anyway, so that's what they would do in Mekomo Shal Rabbi Eliezer. But another believe it or not shita, where they followed the actual practice, is Mekomo Shal Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hayochin Basar Of Bechalav, right, on the menu at a chasna in Rabbi Yossi Aglili's town. You had chicken parmesan. It was totally fine. They had basar of bechalav. Levi ikla lebe Yosef Rishba. Levi once went to the house of Yosef, whose profession was that he was a bird trapper. Aisul kamei resha ditatvasa bechalba. They brought the head of some sort of bird cooked in chalav, and he didn't eat it because it was but he didn't say anything. When he came to Rebbe, so Rebbe asked Levi, "Amaylo tishamtinu? Why didn't you put them in Cherem? They're having basar b'chalav, basar of b'chalav. Why did you leave it?" So Amalei asked Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseiruhu. He says, "I'm not the Mara D'Asra. The Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseiruhu is the Mara D'Asra. And I figured that Darish Luk Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's possible that Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseiruhu holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili and." That Oaf is excluded because it doesn't have chalaveim, so there's no isur basar b'chalav, not min haTorah and not midrabanan. So he thought that he probably darshened like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now the Paras Yosef says, so what if he darshened like Rabbi Yossi Aglili? You could darshen like Rabbi Yossi Aglili and still ask for midrabanan. No, meaning we said that Rabbi Yossi Aglili happens to hold that they never made an isur midrabanan, but the machlok should be given Rabbi Yossi Aglili is from where do we know that min haTorah basar of is mutter? Is it from chalav A or is it from gedi? But what, either way, you could have asered it midrabanan. It's just Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that they never, in fact, asered it midrabanan. So why is the fact that Dorish Luk Rabbi Yossi Aglili tell you that there's no isur drabanan? So Paras Yosef says, no. If you hold Rabbi Yossi Aglili's drasha, then you hold you're not allowed to make an isur drabanan a basar of, because then it's mefurish b'kra. Gedi is a limud that there's an extra word. What do I do with the extra word? Okay, I'll be mema'it basar of. Then that you can make an isur drabanan against. But once something is mefurish laheter b'kra, it's mefurish laheter in a pasuk. The rabbanim are limited. They're not allowed to make a gzeira drabanan against something that's mefurish laheter b'kra. This is the famous yisod of the Taz. The Taz writes in three different places in Shulchan Aruch, one of which is in Hilcha Shofar. The Taz asked the question that the rabbanan said that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, it's going to be in a couple of weeks. Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. Shabbos, so we don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah is chal on Shabbos. So, why don't we make a gezeira that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Yantif, you shouldn't blow shofar? Gezeira Shem Yisakin Klishir, meaning it's a reasonable gezeira, so we should just never blow shofar. So the Taz says, because it says in Chumash, you have to blow shofar, so we can't just undo the whole mitzvah of shofar. And so that's the famous sort of the Taz, that anything that's mefurish in the pasuk lahetir, you're not, the rabbanon are not allowed to make an isser. So there's a lot of kashas on that, and a lot of Rav David Cohen Shlita has a whole the Rav David Cohen from Flatbush, now Lakewood, not Chevron, not Northwood. Not, so the Rav David Cohen Shlita he kept on coming across more Mar Makomos that relate to that Taz. So he has a whole sefer called Hataz Hayadua. So it's the famous Taz, the well known Taz, which is well known if you know it. So that's what the Poros Yosef applies over here, that they couldn't make an iser of Basar Of even on a Rabbanan level, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, so now we move on to the sugya of keva. So the metzius is that when you have an animal that is nursing from a mother, and the milk is found inside one of the stomachs of the animal, that milk is particularly pungent. It's what we call rennet, and it's very useful in cheese making. Now, the other thing that's useful in cheese making is not just the rennet itself, not just the keva, but the or hakeva, the stomach, the skin of the stomach, the flesh of the stomach that milk is found in. So this mishnah is going to discuss what is the status of the keva, and what is the status of the or hakeva. So keva sovid chavim, if you have keva of that's found in a behema that was shechted by an ovid chavim, meaning you shecht the behema, you open up the stomach, and you find this milk that it had just eaten from its mother. Vishel nevela, or keva of a nevela, behema that just wasn't shechted, just dropped dead. Harezu asura. That chalav is going to be asur as nevela, because it's considered to be part of the body of the animal that it was found inside of. Meaning we don't say that it's considered to be just milk, that this and the body of the animal that it was found inside is just a container, but it was milk really from the mother, it's just the mother's milk. No, it's considered part of the animal that was found. And if the animal you found it in was a nevela, so then the keva is a nevela as well. Hamamid ba'or shel keva k'sheira, if you are mamid with the or of a keva of a kasher animal, so you shech that animal and you use the stomach itself for cheese making. So im yesh benosin tam harezo asura. If it's enough meat that's nosin tam in the chalav that you're making into cheese, then it's going to be asur. Meaning it's going to be an isra basur b'chalav when you use the or hakeva. K'sheira shiyanka min atrefa. If you have a kasher animal that nursed from a trefa animal, meaning mom was a trefa, kevas asura. The keva is going to be asur because the milk came from a trefa animal. If a trefa nursed from a kashra animal, so meaning the baby that was that you're getting, that you find the keva inside of is treif, but the mother it came from was kasher, so do you view the baby as just a container of the milk and it's kashra milk, or do we say no, this is part of the baby? So we already addressed this in the beginning of the Mishnah. We already said that it's asur, that it's a problem. Kevasa mutaras. And now we say in the second half of the Mishnah that it's mutar. So the Gemara is going to obviously notice that problem, that there's a stira from the ratio of the Mishnah to the seifa of the Mishnah. Because all the baby is a container, meaning the milk came from the mother. The mother was kasher. The baby's just a container that's holding mom's kasher milk. So says Gemara, just on the language in the first part of the Mishnah, we said that a... Kevas ovid chavim vishal nevela. Keva of an animal that was shechted by a guy, or keva of a nevela. Atu kevas ovid chavim lav nevela. And any animal that was shechted by a guy is a nevela. So why are we making it sound like it's two different cases? So Gemara has two approaches. Number one, Amar Rav Huna, when the Mishnah says kevas ovid chavim, it does not mean that it was shechted by a guy. Hach belokech gedim in ovid chavim maskinan. We're talking about a case where you buy a gedi from an ovid chavim, and after you bought it, after the Jew bought it, he shechted it, and he found the keva inside of it. So v'chayshin and shami yanak min atreifa. And the reason it's problematic, it's a perfectly kosher animal that you shechted. The reason it's problematic is because we're choshesh that maybe it was yonik from a treifa. Maybe that milk came from a treifa that it had nursed from. Umi chayshin and shami yanak min atreifa. Are we choshesh for such things? That of all animals it could have nursed from, that it nursed from a treifa animal? V'atanya look and beitim novicham vein choshim lo mishum nevel lo mishum treifa. You're allowed to buy eggs from Novi Chavim, and you don't have to worry that maybe a treifa chicken laid that egg. You don't have to be worried that something came out of a treifa. No, the concern is when you buy a gedi from Novi Chavim and you shech that gedi, you have to be choshish that maybe it had nursed from a tameya, from a beima tameya, from a totally not, from a pig, from a camel. So, why are we not worried that it nursed from a treifa, but we are worried that it nursed from a behema tameya? Because treifa lo shchicha, tameya shchicha, because it's not so common to find a treifa. Behema tameyas are all over the place. Well, ish shchicha, afil gabi didan nechosh. Well, if behema tameyas are so choshesh, why on Jewish farms are we not worried that that any keva you find in one of your animals maybe came from a behema tameya, maybe came from the nursing from a behema tameya? So says Mar, because by Jews, ananda badlina minayu, v'chizchazina lehu, mafreshina lehu. If you have a Jewish farmer, if he sees that his little that a calf is going and nursing from a pig, he'll chase it away. He'll say, "Stop it!" He'll separate them because he knows he doesn't want that to be. This is the Nishmas Adam points out that you see from here that lechachila you're not allowed to be machil a behema that's omid l'shchita dvarim asurim b'achila. That you're not allowed to feed a behema that's omid l'shchita something that's asur b'achila. Why else are they chasing it away? Because it's omid l'shchita. We don't want it nursing from a non-kosher source. You're not supposed to feed it. That was part of the big controversy about veal. That whether veal is kosher, because they raised the veal to be shechted, obviously, but the feed that they were giving it was some type of basar b'chalav. So that's the whole. It's part of the question. The other part of the question, sar b'lechayim, other things, but treifas questions. But that's part of the question, at least when it comes to veal. So by on a Jewish farm, they'll stop it. So logos rabbanon. Rabbanon didn't have to be gozer that maybe it nursed from a non-kosher animal. But inu, but when it comes to goyim, it's a little bit dili minayu. They're not going to have a problem if their cow is suckling from a pig. So if when they see it, they're not going to stop it. So gazu rabbanon, the rabbanon made such a gzeira. That is all one mahalich in what the Mishnah meant when it said kevas ovli chavim. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says no chada katani kevas ovli chavim vishal nevela is really one case. Kevas shchitas ovli chavim nevela. It's saying keva that of a shchita that was done by an ovli chavim, which by definition is nevela. So miyam Shmuel hachiv Amar Shmuel neima asu gvinei ovli chavim neishama midnoson or kevas nevela hakeva guf asharia. But the Shmuel really have a problem with that, with the fact that the keva that you find inside this kosher animal came initially from the milk of a non-kosher animal. Didn't Shmuel tell me that only the or hakeva is a problem, but the keva that you find inside of a kosher animal, I don't look at its source. I don't care what its source is. It's now part of the baby. It's not part of the mom anymore. So it's going to be mutter. So says Mar lo kasha. Kan kodim chazar kan lach chazar. Remember we had a stira in the Mishnah, whether we view the baby as just a container or we say, no, now it's become part of the baby. Well, it turns out they changed their mind somewhere in the middle. It is a stira. And there was, so Shmuel is reflecting two opinions, one prior to the changing of the mind and one following after they changed their mind. So it says, Mark, if you have a kasher animal that was yonik from a treifa, so he said the keva is aser, but a treifa that's yonik from a kasher, the keva is going to be mutter, because the baby is just a container. Vakatani Resha, but the Resha didn't say the baby is just a container. The Resha said keva sovicham v'shal nevela harezu asura, that the keva of novicham nevela is aser, because so the chalav that's inside the keva's nevela is going to be aser, even though it was yonik from a kasher, because the baby's not just a container. It becomes part of the baby itself. So answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chista, the Gemara's going to have two mahalchim. Number one is Amar Rav Chista, Resha nira kochel nevelos. In the case of the Resha, that you find it in the kevas nevela, it looks like you're eating nevelos, but hacha, by a treifa, which is the case of the seifa, was not a nevela, it was a treifa, ika shchita, at least you shechted it, so it doesn't look so bad. So therefore, the chacham didn't have to aser the chalav that you find inside the keva, meaning, really, 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 the baby is just a container. But midrabanan, if the container baby turned out to be a nevela, midrabanan, they asered it. But if the baby was a treifa, they didn't aser it. Amalei Rava, chama v'lav kol duchenu, but shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer uma nevela demi isa? If nevela, which is most people are grossed out by, the yishar is like kevasa lo asi lemeichel mina, that if you're going to be matzah, the keva, no one's going to come to eat from it anyway. Amrit lo, and still they say that you're not allowed to eat the keva. Treifa shchuta a shechted treifa the yishar is asi lemeichel mina, where if you allow eating the chalav of the keva, it's people are going to come to eat from the animal itself. Lo kol shkein, all the more so we should have asked it. So ela amar vitzka amar miyochanan, he says, no, the way to deal with the stira is as follows. Lo kasha, kan kodem chazara, kan liachar chazara, u'mishna lo zaza mimakoma. As we said, the reisha that asers the keva of the nevela that came from where the milk originated in a kosher animal was taught when Rabbi Yeshua held that keva's nevela is aser before he changed his mind. Whereas the seifa was taught after Rabbi Yeshua already changed his mind, and therefore we use moda that the keva's nevela is going to be mutter. Aye, but why didn't they go back and correct the first half of the Mishnah? That once they came to this conclusion, they should have made the correction. Mishnah lo zazim imkoma. Even though Rabbi Shua changed his mind, they didn't erase the Mishnah, the veracious of the Mishnah, because it was already fluent in people's mouths. They already had known it. They already had taught it. So they kept it as it was, and they just added the stira in the second half of the Mishnah, so you could figure out on your own that there was a change of mind that happened. Okay, Bezrim, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Chiya. Okay, fell a little behind.